David HaMelech in Tehillim describes the sin of the spies, the Chet HaMeraglim, as being Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda. They were disgusted with the coveted land. And the Torah also hints to that being the sin. It says that your children will go in and know the land, Asher Ma'astim Ba, which you were disgusted with. Now on the surface, but that does not seem to aptly describe what the sin of the spies was. Because not necessarily were they disgusted with Eretz Israel. It's just they were afraid to conquer it. They felt that it was unconquerable, that the enemies were too strong. So where is this major underlying cause to be Vayimasu Be'eretz Chemda? They were disgusted with the coveted land. And why dafka Eretz Chemda? There are many other designations for Eretz Israel. Tova, Rechava. Why dafka Eretz Chemda? Thinking that perhaps a way of understanding it is the following. The Meraglim came back and they said, it's true. Eretz Israel is Eretz Zovas Cholav U'Dvash. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. And here is the fruit. And their intention, according to Rashi, was to say the fruit is not normal. And Ephes. And therefore, Enochinami, Eretz Israel has tremendous qualities. But the qualities bring out negative things which are totally incompatible with us. They're compatible with giants. They're compatible with people who have no connection to us. This is not a natural land that has no connection to our essence. And therefore, they said, the land brings out things that are totally bad. And that's why it says, Vayotziu Dibas Haaretz. They brought the slander against Eretz Israel. The Targum says, Shum Bish. They gave Eretz Israel a bad name. The name represents the essence of something. And they said, basically, the essence of Eretz Israel is negative. At least vis-a-vis us. It's great for people who are giants or Anshei Midos. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says something interesting. Anshei Midos, the simple meaning is they're people of stature, people of great measurement. But the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says Anshei Midos means they're people with bad Midos, people with bad character. This land, right, this land produces people with bad character. It's not compatible with us. And that's what happened, that's why they cried over Eretz Israel. What does crying represent? Crying comes from within. Bechi is becha, from within you. And the word bechi has the same numerical value as lev, something that comes from the deepest inner essence of the person. And it says there's something that happened that is totally incompatible with my essence. They cried over Eretz Israel as if to say Eretz Israel is incompatible with us. And what's the tikkun for that crying? We cry on Tisha B'Av in Golus to say that it's the Golus that's incompatible with us. Same crying, different circumstance. So that is the tikkun. Instead of crying that Eretz Israel's essence is not compatible, we cry in Golus that that essence is not compatible with us. And that's why Kalev countered what they said with the following. Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. The land is very, very good. Now that doesn't seem to be quantifiable. How much is very, very good, more than very good, and less than very, very, very good? What does that mean, it's very, very good? I was thinking the idea is the land is good. Very good in its essence. And what it brings out is also very good. What they brought back, the facts, there's one condition. And that was the crucial condition that they failed to recognize. Im chofetz bonu Hashem. Eretz Israel does not have a nature of itself. Eretz Yisrael depends on our relationship with God, because Eretz Yisrael, as we and as the Torah, has a close, intimate, direct relationship with God, and what it is and what it produces depends on that relationship. And therefore, it's like Torah. Torah, the Jewish people do not have a nature of its own. The Jewish people, by its nature, can be the worst of the worst. When a Jew falls, he's worse than everybody. And we can be the best of the best. Lamala or Lamata. Depends on our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Because we have special divine providence. We are not left to natural causes. Same thing goes with the Torah. Torah has a tremendously straight relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Therefore, when a Jew learns Torah, it can either be a Sam HaChaim, it can be an elixir of life, or it can be a poison. Torah, same Torah. Torah has tremendous power, but it depends how you relate it to God. If you relate it to God positively, that tremendous power is for the good. If you relate it to God negatively, then that same power is a poison. Eretz Yisrael can be great for the people who have a connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if not, then it brings out the worst. Sodom and Amorah was in Eretz Yisrael too. And that is Tova Ha'aretz Ma'od Ma'od. And the people didn't want that. The Hetnik Dover, the Nitzid said, they said, Nitna Rosh V'Nashuva Mitzrayma. Let us pick up our heads and go back to Egypt. Because in Eretz Yisrael, we're not going to be able to pick up our head. In Eretz Yisrael, we're going to have to bow our head to God's divine providence. And we'd rather be free, pick up our own heads in Mitzrayim. And that's why it was called Eretz Chemda. The word Chemda is something that is desirable because of its qualities. Its essence is desirable. The difference between Taiva and Chemda. Taiva is where the person desires something from his side. The thing itself may not be all that desirable, but I desire it. That's taiva. Taiva emanates, starts with the person. Chemda starts with the object. The object is a desirable object, therefore I want it. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They detested, they were disgusted with Eretz Chemda, with the essence of Eretz Israel. They didn't think that it was something that was desirable, but it's more than that. The Ibn Ezra says, how does one protect himself from the prohibition of coveting what belongs to somebody else? Lo sachmot, same word, lo sachmot. So he says his famous idea that you only covet something that you think you have a connection to, that is a connection to you, that it's compatible with you, with your essence, with your lot in life. But if you would realize that whatever another person has no connection to you. It was given to him by God and not to you, because you don't need it. It's not compatible with you. It's because God apportions out everything. Then you wouldn't covet what someone else has, because you have no connection to it. That means what you do covet, what is covetable, what is chemda, is something you feel you have a connection to. And that's why vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They were disgusted with Eretz Chemda. They didn't feel Eretz Yisrael was compatible with them. They didn't feel the essence of Eretz Yisrael was desirable, because they felt that it had no connection to them.
And did you say Chemda is connected to the word Sachmod?
Right. Lo Sachmod means don't covet. Chemda means something that's covetable, that's desirable,
it's
or whatever.
Something that has value and meaning to you.
Right.
And say with Sachmod.
Right. Don't desire something that's valuable to someone else and think that that same thing would be valuable to you. Okay, because losachmod means if that belongs to someone else, then he needs it. God didn't give it to you. Obviously, it's not connected to you. So don't covet that thing. Recognize that it's not, and there's no connection to you. No, but the way, what the Ibn Ezra says, the way to protect yourself from having that prohibited desire is by recognizing that it's not meant for you.
Okay.
That's not meant for you. Right. Okay. And that was the punishment that they got, that they wouldn't see Eretz Yisrael. Right? Because Eretz Yisrael has two milas. One, the practical one. You live there, and you get the benefit of living there. But there's a second benefit. And that's it. Since the essence of Eretz Yisrael has a connection to the essence of the Jewish people, just seeing the land from afar connects you, your essence, seeing, connects you from afar to the thing that you see. So if you look at Eretz Yisrael, the essence of Eretz Yisrael and your essence mesh, and it makes an impression on you, has an impression, and it makes an impression on Eretz Yisrael. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he realized he couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, asked for two things. Ebrama ve'eres ha'aretz hatova. Let me go in physically, and if that's not possible, at least let me see the land. Because that in itself will give me a connection and have make an impression on my essence and an impression on the essence of Eretz Yisrael. And the Rabban Shalom answered him halfway. You won't go in, but you'll be able to see the land. And these people, Mida Keneged Mida, you felt you had no connection to the essence of the land. It's incompatible with you. You won't even see the land. That was their punishment. And what did the Rabban Shalom tell them about their children? And your children, who you said will be decimated in conquering the land, they'll come in, the Yadu Esa'aretz, they'll know the land. Knowing is a euphemism for an intimate, close attachment. As it says by marital relations, it's called Yediyah, Vayeda Adam, Eschava Ishto. It's an intimate, close attachment from one thing to another. They will have that attachment, the Yadu Esa'aretz, they'll know the land. They'll have that intimate attachment to Eretz Yisrael. It could be for that reason, immediately after the Chet HaMeraglim comes a few different parshios in the Torah, short parshios. The first is the parsha of Nesachim and Menachos, that along with the sacrifice, you bring wine libations and meal offerings. And then comes the parsha of Challah, that when you make dough, you take off challah. There's a very big difference between these two things, and I think that's what the Torah wanted to point out. Nesachim, wine libations and meal offerings, the ingredients, the flour, the oil, the wine can come from anywhere in the world. You can import flour and make a meal offering and bring it with your sacrifice. You can import wine from America and bring it with a sacrifice. But challah, only from the Torah applies in Eretz Yisrael, from Eretz Yisrael produce. If you import flour from Chutz La'aretz, from the Torah, you don't have to take off challah. Rabbinically, you have to. And in Chutz La'aretz also, rabbinically, you have to take off challah. But challah is only from produce of Eretz Yisrael, in Eretz Yisrael. You have produce of Eretz Yisrael, you have to take off challah. Why? What's the difference between them? Anywhere in the world, you can take anything and consecrate it and bring it with a sacrifice and make it something holy. But only in Eretz Yisrael is the essence of the thing holy itself. And even if you're making the dough, it's not something that grows from the ground that makes it chayiv in challah. It's only when you make the dough, you're making your own personal secular bread, and it has Kedusha because it comes from the essence of Eretz Yisrael. The essence of Eretz Yisrael sanctifies everything, whereas things in Chutz La'aretz can be sanctified if you direct them specifically to be something sanctified. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's the essence that sanctifies it. That's the difference between Chal and Nesachim, and therefore immediately after the Chet HaMeraglim, to point this out, the Torah gave both of these mitzvahs. And then after that, the Torah reiterates that the Ger and the regular born Jew are the same, equal. Just like you can take Torah and you can change the essence of something through it. You can make a goy into a Jew if he converts the proper way and embraces the Torah, so too Eretz Yisrael. If you embrace God and the Torah through Eretz Yisrael, the essence is great for you. And if not, it means a goy. So it depends on the, and that's why the next parasha is serving idolatry by, unintentionally. Because that's what the sin of the spies was. Serving idolatry unintentionally, because they attributed Eretz Yisrael to natural powers. And they looked at those natural powers, not realizing that Eretz Yisrael has no natural powers. Eretz Yisrael depends on what kind of relationship you have with the Ribbono Shel Olam, whether it's going to bring out its true essence or not. And it ends with the parasha of Mekoshesh, the person who is Mechal Shabbos in the desert. Shabbos applies universally. Anywhere in the world, Shabbos, Kedusha applies, even in the desert. But then comes the mitzvah tzitzis. There's something beyond that. And that is that we have the ability to make ourselves holy. V'yisem kedoshim lelokeichem. And for that purpose, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us Eretz Yisrael. In order to really bring out our holiness, we need to be in a holy land. And that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam took us out of Egypt, to bring us to Eretz Yisrael, that we can create that constant holiness in every aspect of life. Like the challah, as opposed to the nesachim and the menachos. And that's why it says that a person who lives in Eretz Yisrael and speaks Lashon HaKodesh and says Kriya Shema morning and evening is Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. Kriya Shema is the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Torah learning. Person who has that connection to Torah and he lives in Eretz Yisrael and brings out that essence of Kedusha, and he brings it out by speaking Kedusha. Speech is what brings out the neshama. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you have that essence. You bring out the essence through speech, and you connect it to Torah, then it's Muftach Lo Shu Ben Olam Haba. That is the recipe, the threefold recipe for Olam Haba, which is that close connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that they attributed Eretz Yisrael to natural forces. That's what idolatry is, to attribute the running of the world to natural forces and not to God. They didn't see that Eretz Yisrael is connected directly to God, and you can't attribute the essence of Eretz Yisrael to any natural force. It depends what your connection to God is. Your connection to God is good, and those same forces in Eretz Yisrael will work out for the good. If you're not, those same forces will work out for the bad. Oh, yes. Make a copy of this? Mirza Shem, someday. Yes.
Can you clarify something?
Yeah.
You said that the flower has to be from Eretz Yisrael?
No.
I said from the Torah. If only the only flower that is chayiv in challah is things that grew in Eretz Yisrael. If it grew in Chutz Laaretz, it's not chayiv in challah in HaTorah, only rabbinically. Challah in Chutz Laaretz is only rabbinic. Challah in Eretz Yisrael could be from the Torah today, it could be, it's only rabbinic for side reasons. But so you're still chayiv to take off challah, but only rabbinically. Right, but it's only from produce of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. Right, challah rabbinically applies everywhere, from any produce. Yeah. I'm sorry I said this, yeah? Yeah. It makes no difference halachically today. Okay, you have to take off challah wherever you are, in Alaska, the North Pole, South Pole, from things that grew there. Okay, that's. But it could be it's not from the Torah, it's only rabbinic.
Now, about
the
meat, you said something about meat that are also good here. Is it possible also that they could say that only meat that the North Pole, like, that they came from good there?
Yeah, that was another idea, they said. It's only compatible with people who are totally tzaddikim and not, right. But I didn't say that. But you're right, there is an opinion that says that. But what we're saying is no. They said that it's compatible, just the opposite, with people with bad midos. The land itself brings out bad midos, which is true if you have no connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Could be people in Eretz Yisrael if they have no connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, no connection to Torah, that Eretz Yisrael brings out bad midos in them, not good midos. But if you have the connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, the essence of Eretz Yisrael brings out the best in a person too.
That's why I'm in trouble now.
Okay, just one more point, just to end on a little lighter note, and then we'll get to Mashiach ben Yosef. There's another way of looking at the sin of the spies, and another explanation of Ayimoasu be'eretz chemda, that they were disgusted with the desirable land. Chemda has another meaning to it. The Rambam says that even though the prohibition of chemda is something you transgress mentally by wanting something, and therefore you don't get lashes for it because it's a lav shein bo maisa, it's a transgression that you do without action. Anything that you do without action, you don't get lashes for. But the Rambam also says that you only transgress this if you actually chepa the person and get the thing that you wanted. Right? You bother the person, you offer him a tremendous amount of money, and you buy what he didn't want to sell you. Then you transgress the prohibition. But if you don't go through the motions of getting it, then you don't transgress it. So those two things are contradictory. The Rambam says that you transgress it without action, and then he says you have to have an action. Simplest answer is the transgression is wanting it. But how much do you have to want it? You have to want it enough to do something about it and get it. If you don't want it enough to do something about it, then that is not the full measure of the transgression. That's chemda. Chemda means something you want and you bring to fruition. That's chemda. That's the case. Their sin was the following. They said Eretz Yisrael is a great place. Great place to admire from afar. It's like Disney World. Nobody lives in Disney World. Right? Nobody lives in Disney World. But it's a great place to visit. Eretz Yisrael is a great place to visit. But it's not a place to live. You can't live here. You can only visit here. Right? Come, take your slides, bring them back, speak about Eretz Yisrael. Right? But can't live here. And I once wanted to say that's what they said. Eretz ocheles yoshivera. It eats up its citizens. Not the tourists, just the citizens. There's a... And the Marsha says this. He says, what did the spies bring back of the seven minim of Eretz Yisrael? Only three things. They brought back figs, grapes, and pomegranates. What didn't they bring back? Right? Barley, wheat, olive oil, and dates. Why? Because the staples of life are barley and wheat, oil you need for cooking and life, and dates, the Gemara says, is a nutritional food. You can live on dates. What did they bring? They didn't bring that. They brought that dessert. Figs, grapes. They said Eretz Yisrael is a great place for dessert, but it can't live there. Right? Can't live there. There's a famous joke. I think Ben-Gurion said this joke. The joke goes, the difference between being a tourist and living in Eretz Yisrael. Somebody once complained that living here is very, very difficult. And when he came, you know, on a pilot trip or whatever, it wasn't like that. So the joke goes like this. There's a person who dies clinically, and he comes to Shamayim, and they tell him, look, you're going back, but while you're here already, we'll show you around. So they take him to Gan Eden. He sees people sitting and learning Torah, and there's a little herring on the table, and he's not overly impressed. Then they take him to Gehenna, and he sees people eating and drinking and partying, and he says, wow, this is more my style. And then they bring him back to this world. 20 years later, he dies. Comes back to Shemayim, and they say to him, we're going to give you a choice where you want to go. Do you want to go to Gan Eden? Do you want to go to Gehenna? He says, well, from what I saw when I was here, I don't think Gan Eden is for me. I'm really not interested in sitting learning Torah all the time, and the herring didn't look that interesting. But Gehenna, that was more my style. So I think I'll go to Gehenna. He said, okay, it's your choice. They take him into Gehenna, push him through the door, and he sees people hanging from the walls, groaning in pain, people being boiled in oil. And he says, wait a second. He says, last time I was here, people were eating and drinking and partying. He said, yeah, last time you were a tourist. The So that's what the Meraglim said. Eretz Yisrael is great to admire from afar, but it's Eretz Ocheles Yosheveh. It eats up its citizens. You can't live there. And that was the Chet HaMeraglim. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. They denied the fact that Eretz Yisrael was livable, that it was real. And they looked at it only as something that was an ideal, right, nice thing to look at from afar. And that is not the way the Torah is in everything. If you think that what the Torah says is impossible, it's not real, it's just a nice ideal, that's not for our religion, that's for other religions. Made up, man-made religions demand things of their adherence, thank you very much, their adherence, that are impossible for human beings to do. Nobody ever did them. They're nice on paper because they were made up by people and they're not real. So the Christians demand that people turn the other cheek. They never turned anybody else's other cheek except the people they were murdering, right? Or love your enemies. These are not things that are humanly possible, but they sound nice on paper. The Torah was given by God, who created us and created the world, and he knows what we can do, what we can't do. And if we can't do it, he didn't command it. V'horaya, there's a parsha of Eishes Yifas Tovar, where God permits marrying with a certain condition, certain process, marrying a non-Jewish woman in time of war, right? Because the Rabbanu Shlom says, I know it's impossible for a human being to control himself under the circumstances. And therefore, I'm giving you this process. Keneged Yetzer. Rabbi Cheskel Avramsky's Rebbetzin said, you see from here that if it's impossible, the Torah didn't prohibit it, nor did it command you to do something it's impossible. And therefore, if the Torah did command you to do something, and it did prohibit something, it must be that it's possible to do. It's not just a nice ideal. It's possible not to speak Lashon Hara. The Chafetz Chaim didn't speak Lashon Hara. He wasn't an angel. He was a human being. So if he could do it, anybody could do it. If you want to, put in the effort. It's something that's possible. It's not just a nice ideal. And that was the sin of the spies. They thought Eretz Yisrael is a great ideal. Right? It's theoretical. But Lamaisa, impossible. That in itself is a sin.